Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Joe, that song was higher than a cat's back, man. Good job, brother. Wow, that was up there. That hurt me trying to hit that. I like to hum along or, you know, sing a little along under my breath. I couldn't hum along. I had to harmonize. That was too high. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 85. The book of the Psalms, Psalm 85. While Brother Stephen and his family was trying to sleep, my crazy kids were taking video of those fireworks last night. And somebody, man, I tell you what, it wasn't those little fireworks. It was the big ones. And they were filling the skies and really nice. But again, I think it stopped at 11:30 and we went to bed shortly thereafter. But, you know, that is a fireworks really were part in the first celebration as a nation. July the 4th of 1776, 237 years ago, when we became a nation free from the tyranny of England. What a joy to be part of this country, amen? And we have something to celebrate. And I told you earlier, I talked to a lot of people. I have the gift of gab, if you will. But I do like to talk to people. I'm like Joe Creek. I never meet a stranger. And sometimes, the bad thing about that, though, is sometimes you go up to people and you start talking to them like they're your best friend because you think they're somebody else. That ever happened to you? And the bad thing is, it's good as long as my wife is there, because Leslie will try to head it off at the pass. He's like, that ain't who you think it is, you know, kind of like that. But if she isn't with me, it's bad. And we'll talk for 20 minutes, and I'm like, you're so-and-so, aren't you? And they're like, no. Matter of fact, true story, illustrating, I'll get into the sermon. True story, where's Tracy Fleming at? Oh, she left again. Pray for Tracy. She's going through a lot right now. No, there she is. Hey, Tracy. Oh, man, I learned if you go talk about somebody, make sure they're gone, okay? But a couple weeks back, I took my truck up to the Van Dyke dealership there. I have a Dodge, and I was getting it oil changed. You don't have to do much service on them. Just get oil changed, keep them running. Those Hemis like to run. Can I get a witness in the building? But anyway, that was two of us. But some people ain't as blessed as we are. But anyway, so I go up to, you say, how does this go with what you just said about knowing people? Well, I'll tell you what it does. So I dropped my truck off. I'm like, yeah, I said, how long? 30 minutes. I said, well, I'm just going to walk up the subway. You know, I like to walk and exercise. You know that, right? True story. And it was about 10:30 or so. So I walked up the subway, got me a Coke and a couple of cookies. But anyway, so as I'm walking up there, a guy is walking towards me. He's got a walker. And he's walking towards me. And I stopped him. I said, hey. I said, good to see you. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, you ain't Tim Rice, are you? No, it scared him. He thought I was going to mug him, I think. I thought it was your dad. I stopped him and thought it was your dad. And, of course, I think I text Tracy after that. She just laughed. That happens to me all the time. So if I call you somebody different, it's just because I care about you. Okay, that's what that means. Psalm 85. I want to talk this morning just for a few moments around this thought. Here's the thought. We must remember. We must remember. You know, in the context of this being July 4th week, and we celebrate, and no doubt many will be around friends and family on Thursday and throughout the weekend, and we'll have hot dogs and hamburgers. I'm making myself hungry, so it's going to be a short sermon again. But who amen that? Bonnie, that's the only time you've ever amen a sermon, Bill. That's the only time she's ever amen when I said it was going to be a short sermon. But anyway, before I was so rudely interrupted, we celebrate. And I know, listen, I have friends of mine. Now, I watch occasionally. I don't watch a lot of it because, like I said, you watch too much of it, it gets you depressed. But occasionally I'll watch Fox News. I have friends, no joke. I have friends of mine that if you go to their house, they watch it 22 hours out of 24. Let me just let you in on something. After about the second hour, they're telling you the same thing again. Amen? It's crazy. My wife says that about ESPN. No, they don't. You said that. She said the weather. No, it isn't. Local on the 8s is a joy. I'm glad to have Local on the 8s, aren't you? Pray for Miss Leslie. She's struggling with bitterness this morning. That's my love of my life. The wind beneath my wings. But anyway, I'm thankful to God. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm thankful to God to be an American today. Aren't you? I mean, we were a nation. We were founded on Christian principle. We were fought for by courageous people. You know, it's amazing in our country that you remember 9/11. I know we've never forgotten 9/11. You know what was amazing about 9/11 to show you the patriotism of our land? And I know, listen, there are some that aren't very patriotic. There are some that want to burn the flag. Here's my thought on that. As an American, as a free American, yes, we have freedoms, and people, you know, want to say we're a bad nation. And, you know, I had relatives before say, you know, used to call America, you know, the big bully, you know, that's kind of nonsense. Listen, I got news for you, friend. There are millions of people, not in this country, but around this world, that are thankful to God for this country. Our country has liberated tons and tons of countries. People have freedoms today, and they enjoy these freedoms because of our country that we live in. Now, having said that, in the context of the Bible, you say, preacher, where does United States come in the Bible? Well, we don't really have a verse that says United States of America. But what we do have is, as you look at the nation of Israel, and we're going to do that this morning. As you look at the nation of Israel, and as you parallel some things, I think there are some things that you could, without distorting the text or without trying to take things out of their context, I think there are some things that we'll see in this passage in Psalm 85 that we can parallel with our land. And I think before this is over with, you will come to the consensus that I've come to, the fact that we must remember some things, not only as Americans, but as God's people. We've got a responsibility to teach our kids some things. Amen? We've got a responsibility to teach our grandchildren some things. We live in an amazing nation. We live in a nation. Isn't it something that if America was such a bad country that some people say it is, and to be honest, what the liberal media tries to paint us as, if it's such a bad country, why are we trying to keep people from coming across our borders with the pursuit of freedom? We live in an amazing nation. You say, well, how can we make it a better nation? I'm so glad you ask. Here's how we can make it a better nation. We as God's people pray for it. We as God's people, ready for this one? We as God's people that are legal age to do it, we vote. You say, preacher, I don't vote anymore. By the way, I've talked to people that said that. Well, I don't vote in elections. Well, here's my opinion on it. If you do not vote in elections, don't complain about anything. That's free. I'm not charging for that. I'll have to charge you for the rest of the sermon, but I'm not going to charge for this. Notice Psalm 85. If you found your place in honor and reverence for the reading of God's word, please stand, and we will read a few verses of scripture today. And again, this is a psalm dealing primarily with the nation of Israel, but I think you can draw some parallels. I think you can draw some pretty interesting comparisons between our nation and the nation of Israel. We know that we are not Israel, right? We know that we're not the nation of Israel. I hope you know that. The nation of Israel was God's chosen nation. However, there are some things in this passage that I think will really shout to us about the importance of remembering some things. Notice the text. The psalmist writes in verse number 1, he says, Lord, thou, look at this, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Question for you. Yes, we know that's talking about Israel, but could that be said of the United States of America? Thou, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou, look at this. They're giving credit. Listen, the psalmist is giving credit where credit is due to the Lord. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. The word Selah was a musical pause. It means to pause. It means to stop, if you will, and just meditate on what has previously been stated. To stop and see what it's there for kind of thing. He said, hey, thou hast covered our iniquity. Selah. Stop and think about that. If you will, from Kentucky, brother, chew on that a while. Right? Chew on that a little bit. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. But look at verse 4 through 6. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cease thine anger toward us, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Look at verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for your word. I ask, dear God, that you'll cleanse us of any sins that may hinder this service. And Father, I pray that you will meet in a mighty, mighty way with your people today. Thankful, Lord, we're grateful for the many visitors. We're thankful, Lord, for the friendly smiles that we see on their faces. And Lord, just bless now, we pray. Meet with us, God, in a mighty, mighty way. Thank you again, Lord, to live in our country. For it's in Jesus' holy name I pray, and amen. Thank you, you may be seated. We must remember. Now, when you look at the context of these passages, I'm going to show you just a few things about these verses. Now, first of all, understand, this is just introduction, but understand the Psalms was the Jewish hymn book. We love to sing songs, don't we? I love to sing. I really do. I love to sing. My family loves to sing. You know, I told you about Toby last Sunday on vacation, waking up at 7 in the morning singing, "At Last My Love Has Come Along," when he was 10 years old. "At Last My Love Has Come Along." You said, "Preacher, that's not a Christian song." I know. He takes after his mother. It's terrible. I'm praying for him. Pray for me. You know, pray for him. My wife said her favorite hymn song was "Under the Boardwalk." Haven't found it in our hymn book, but anyway. But we love to sing, and we love to sing songs, and they love to sing specialty music, my family. Well, the Jews, and we as a church, we love music, amen? We love to hear the choir sing. Aren't you blessed by the ministry of our choir? Brother Stephen had something happen to him today, and when they first started, I thought, oh no, the background music's on. I first thought that. It wasn't on, right? It wasn't. I'm telling you, it wasn't. But I listened. I was like, wait a minute. That's not the background music. That's our choir. Amen? That's awesome. When you get to the point as a choir that they think you're the background music, amen? Yeah. They had the mics up, and they had a mic really good, and you could hear them. The only thing we need to help our choir do is smile. Y'all singing like this. I'm serious. Little Joe Hall, I got to pick on you, brother. Little Joe Hall was like this. I'm serious. I wanted to pick him up and say, son, you know, just, you got to smile a little bit. Listen, when you start singing, then we will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Brother, that ought to put a smile on your face. You said, preacher, we weren't smiling because we didn't know the words. We were making them up as we went. That may be true because of that screen back there. But you know what I've learned about that? Here's my thought on music. I don't know a whole lot of music. You know, I don't. But my point of music is this. I told Brother Steve one day, I was in the choir and he was leading us. I said, you know, the only problem with this music. He said, what's that? I said, all these notes and all these. I said, all these words. He says, yeah. I said, that just, in my opinion, being from the South, I said, that just constrains the Holy Spirit of God. What I meant by that was, if I want to sing a different word, I just want freedom. Amen? If I want to sing the fourth verse first, go God. Yeah. Amen? Listen, if I want to mix the first and the second and the third verse all together in one verse, it's okay. because I've been known to do that. I've been known to sing special music and make up the words to the song, and I've had people say, wait a minute, is that a new one? No. Spirit-led. You lay that on them. Here's what that means. What that means is you've gotten to the age where you forget and you just preach or you sing until you remember again. Amen? So just kind of keep that in mind. But the point is, we love to sing, and we love to sing songs about the Lord, and we love to sing songs that honor the heritage that we have as a nation. I love that song Brother Joe sang this morning, yes, in New York's harbor, the Statue of Liberty. What a joy to know. And many people, millions of people, have seen that statue and thought, man, in the land of the free. Amen? I'm now in the land of the free as they come through the harbor. But you know what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, the songs that we sing that exalt the Lord and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews, they love to sing as well. They loved music. As a matter of fact, the psalmist, as I said earlier, many of these, the majority of all these psalms, they would sing as they were making their pilgrimages back to the temple. As they were making their journey, yearly journey, back to the temple, they would sing these songs. And you could see them and you could hear. Can you hear them? Can you allow yourself to go back in your mind for a moment and maybe allow your ears back to the time and the writing of this psalm? And can you hear them as they're singing these songs? They're singing them. And these songs are calling us as God's people to remember. We must, friend, we must remember. We see, first of all, in this passage of Scripture, the psalmist, we see his call of exaltation. We see a call of exaltation. Several times he mentions, thou hast, or Lord, you have, thou hast. He's exalting the fact that God had been favorable, that the Lord God had blessed them as a nation. The Bible tells us, he told them that in verse number 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. And again, making some parallel comparisons, God had blessed the nation of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I hope you hear this, I hope you know this. God is not done with the nation of Israel biblically. He isn't done with her yet. So before we, you know, and I know we live in a world, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be honest and let's just admit something. There are some in our world that want nothing more than for Israel to be wiped off of the face of the planet. There are those that want that. But let me let them in on a little secret. God Almighty will never let that happen. Just kind of keep that in mind. And also, may I also remind us, as a nation, the United States of America, biblically now, according to the Bible, not man's opinion, but according to God's Bible, as a nation, United States of America, we better stay an ally to Israel. And you say, preacher, I don't really know a whole lot about the Bible, but here's what the Bible says, and here's why I make that statement. The Bible tells us God said he would bless those that bless Israel. He will curse those that curse Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, that covenant that God has with Israel, it still stands. It still stands. So, but this is a call of exaltation. Now, when you think of our land, and when you think of us as the United States of America, and here we are some, you know, 237 years, I believe it is, on this side of our founding, and since we were founded as a nation. I told Les this morning, Brother Tommy, you'll appreciate this. I said, you know what's incredible? As I said, here we are, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, founded in 1949. The church that we came out of, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist, Brother Tommy's the name of it, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist, I preached their 200th year anniversary several years ago. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. To know that God has had churches in our land for over 200 years, that in our nation's only been in existence for 237, and yet God, listen, here it is, God has always had a light in this land. What a joy. What an awesome thought. What a tremendous thought. So God has been favorable. God has blessed the nation of Israel, but he's also blessed our land. The word exaltation just simply means lively or triumphant joy. As over success of victory, it's an act of rejoicing greatly. So the psalmist, this call of exaltation, is calling on us to rejoice greatly over what God has done in our land. You know, when I think about how God has blessed our nation, He's blessed our nation several ways. First of all, letter A, He's blessed us politically. He's blessed us politically. You know, it's a joy. You say, preacher, I've never really thought about voting because I've been taught and told that my vote doesn't matter anyway. Yes, it does. Are you aware that there are some countries, matter of fact, in the country of Iraq, there are many that were killed when they went and tried to vote? When we as a nation went in and helped to liberate them and to try to somewhat bring some democracy there. And by the way, we are not a democracy necessarily. We are a democratic republic, which is a big difference. And I'm not giving you a history, American history lesson, but the point I'm trying to make, the Lord God has blessed us. He's blessed us politically. We're living in a land where we have freedom. We're living in a land where we can gather together and assemble ourselves together politically. There's nothing wrong with the word politics. And I've heard people say, well, preacher, you shouldn't talk politics with people. Listen, listen, hear my heart. Please hear my heart. Politics should not make us enemies. Shouldn't make us enemies. You say, yeah, but preacher, you'll say things like, matter of fact, and I know you're aware of this, but I got to hit on this because it goes against the Bible with what the Supreme Court just voted on. It goes against the Bible. It goes against God's Word. God's Word, listen, God's Word defines, it's fascinating to me that we want to try to redefine something that God gave the definition for. When you try to redefine something that God has given the definition for, you're going to be on the losing end. God, we know what marriage is biblically. It's between a man and a woman. And God's intentions for marriage, hear my heart, God's intentions for marriage was for one man, one woman, for one lifetime. That's God's intentions of marriage. And when you want to redefine that and say, well, you know, no, you know what, this is 2013. We would do well just to kind of get with the times. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, hear my heart this morning. We would do well to go back a little bit. We would do well to remember some things. Remember the fact God's blessed us politically. Whether you say, preacher, what are you? Are you a Republican? What are you? I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not independent. I vote the person. Amen? I mean, if Republican, listen, if a Republican stands up and says, hey, I'm for abortion, and I'm for same-sex marriage, and I'm for this, and I'm for that, guess what? They're not getting my vote. And by the way, here's just, you could take it for what it's worth, and I'm not being political, but here's my heart on this. I personally believe, I'm of the deep conviction, here's my conviction. And I'm not trying to pass my conviction on you, just hear my heart. I'm of the deep conviction that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's forgiven you of your sins, He changed your life, you've been born again. Here, friend, here's what I believe. I believe you ought to take Him in the voting booth with you and ask Him who He would endorse. Amen? Lord God, who would you endorse? Just a thought. Just a thought. He's blessed us politically. He's blessed us materially. Oh, I mean, we could go on and on and on how God has blessed us a nation materially. We live in a beautiful, beautiful country, do we not? It's gorgeous. I mean, I know my friend here today that's from Lexington, Kentucky. My brother, not everybody has the joy of being from Kentucky. I'm just telling you. Amen. Tom Samuels went into a war dance back there, brother. Listen, we live in some beautiful, we live in a gorgeous nation. Last couple of falls I've been blessed to go out to Colorado. You ever been out to Colorado? Man, it's beautiful. You know the best way to see Colorado? Through a rifle scope. That's the best way to see it, man. And Brother Andy Darty and myself and Brother Adrian, we're going to try to look through a rifle scope again in the end of October, but I mean, the gorgeous, the beauty. The Lord Jesus has blessed us materially. And that's why, I mean, you can take it for what it's worth, but I do not understand. I don't understand why as a nation, this is free, but I don't understand why as a nation we want to be so dependent on other nations to help us. And so dependent, like for our research, like oil. Really? We're buying oil from over there when, not to scare you, but there's a good possibility there's some close to underneath our feet. I saw a statistic years ago. They said that there's more oil capped off in Michigan that if they were to just go ahead and use it, it would last us over 100 years in the whole country. I don't know. Just a thought. We're blessed. We're blessed materially. We're blessed. Here's another one. I know you don't think much about this, but we're blessed militarily. We have great military. Here's where I was going a few moments ago when I said right after 9/11, show you patriotism. Recruiters were being, had an influx of people right after 9/11. We've been attacked on our own soil. And right after 9/11, the recruiters had people coming in their room and said, hey, sign me up. Sign me up for the military. You know what? God's blessed us militarily. Here's my thoughts on the military. You and I, here's another thought about our military. You and I today are living, get this, you and I today are living on unconquered soil. Wow. To God be the glory. You were able to come to church this morning. You didn't have to go through barricades to get here. You didn't have to go through armed guards to come in the room. What a joy. I told you a minute ago, freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. This nation has been founded, yes, on Christian principle. And it really has. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you historically. We can call it politics. It's not politics. It's historical fact. It's historical fact that our nation was founded on biblical principle. That's historical fact. And I know the history revisionists, they want to rewrite our history. Listen, friend, if you, I'm of deep conviction by this statement. If you rewrite our history and you take God out of our history, you have a lie. You have a lie. So he's blessed us. The best way to have peace, someone said, is to have peace through strength. Thankful to God for a military. He's blessed us spiritually. Look at verse number 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Listen, if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, the greatest word that could ever be said about you is this statement. You've been forgiven. What a joy. Hallelujah. We've had our sins forgiven by a holy and righteous God. Our sins, the sin, hear me, the sin that put Jesus on a cross 2,000 years ago. God, friend, has blessed this nation spiritually like the nation of Israel because there's many in this nation, there's many in this room today that God has forgiven your sins. He's forgiven you of your iniquities. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's blessed us spiritually. We're celebrating. We're remembering the fact that God's blessings upon us spiritually is the greatest blessing of all. To be spiritually free, to have forgiveness of God. The word forgive means to take away. The background of the word is a ceremony of the scapegoat. The Jews had a ceremony that they would take two lambs and they would sacrifice the one, but on the other lamb symbolically, the priest would bend over and he would, on that lamb, he would, as if you will, be confessing the sins of the nation on that lamb. They would then take that lamb and they would lead it into the wilderness and let it wander off into the wilderness, symbolically symbolizing that their sins now are gone. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, when he was buried, when he rose again the third day, in the moment that you repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to forgive you, to save you, to take you to heaven someday when you die, guess what happened to your sin? It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah, man. What a joy. It's a call of exaltation, but second of all, it's a call of examination. Look at verse number 4. Turn us, Turn us, O God. You see, the tone now of this song begins to change. In verse 4 and 5, the note of the anger of God comes up. Turn us, O God, verse 4, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now I know when you talk about God as an angry God, it goes against an ideology of many in our nation and many in our land. Many want to run around and listen, I absolutely biblically understand that God is a God of love, and thank God that He is. Man, we wouldn't be going to heaven when we die if it weren't for the fact that God's a God of love. But sweet friend, I hope you understand something. Yes, He's a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. And if we think for one moment we as a nation can endorse homosexual marriage as okay, as we as a nation can say that the murder of unborn babies is okay, and I'm not here to start a debate, but ladies and gentlemen, last I checked, if you take something that is living, and hear me, everybody look up, let's just be logical for a moment. Dr. Dana Yules, a retired pediatrician, is in our room right now, so he can more medically can validate what I'm saying or discredit what I'm saying. But hear my heart. If you take something that is living, all right, and you are responsible for causing that living, as the world says, thing to cease from living, is it fair to say, if I look up definition in the dictionary, is it fair to say that you've murdered that life? Amen? So abortion at best is murder. It's murder. And we want to say it's okay, and we want to say it just baffles me. It baffles me that we want to say that that's okay. It's a call of examination. And the reason I said that is the fact that if we think for one moment that God, hear me, I don't know who said this years ago, but I remember hearing this statement. And the statement was this: if God doesn't judge America for her sin, He will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Ladies and gentlemen, our land has drifted far from our founding. You say, yeah, but preacher, you know that we're just accidents of some evolutionary process. No, that's a lie from hell. And by the way, if you go back to our foundation as America, our founding as a country, and I'm going to show you here in a moment, our foundation, our forefathers who signed the documents, they knew where we came from. When's the last time you read the Declaration of Independence? I read that in middle school. I read that in grade school. I encourage you, hear my heart, I encourage you, when you get home, pull the Declaration of Independence up online and read it. Tremendous document. Let me remind you the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. Here's the second paragraph. Our founding fathers, who the liberal media wants to paint as some anti-God, some men that weren't really smart. I got news for you, brother. I would to God that we had some of the intelligence in our political system now that they had 237 years ago. Just a thought. Chew on that a while. Amen. The Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph, you'll find these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed, listen to this statement, by their Creator. Wow. 237 years ago. By their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You see, in that paragraph, you have certain basic affirmations made. First of all, is the affirmation that there is absolute truth. Did you hear it? What did they say? We hold these truths to be self-evident. These truths, you didn't hear me, these truths to be self-evident. What is he saying? The affirmation that there is 100% absolute truth that you can see and you can find. And there's absolute truth you can hold on to. We live in a day of relativism. Goodness gracious. We live in a day that if many people say if it feels good, do it. Listen, friend. The only problem with that is if it feels good, do it. Live by that kind of lifestyle. Here's a thought. We are all accountable to him. There's coming a judgment day. There's coming a reckoning day. Dr. R.G. Lee, great Southern Baptist preacher, preached a sermon one time. He said there's a payday someday. The second thing you find in that paragraph is this, is a recognition. There's not only affirmation that there's absolute truth, there's recognition. You say, well, what, preacher? That you and I are created beings. Did you hear that Declaration of Independence, second paragraph? That all men are created equal. That they are endowed by their creator. Amen? We're not accidents of evolution. We're the crowning work of creation. God created you. Listen, friend, I said this at a conference or maybe here not too long ago. I said, if you'll look at yourself, if you look in the mirror every morning when you look in the mirror, if you could see it, if you could see it and you would be honest with yourself, you have the fingerprints of God all over you. He created you. And we ought to resemble him. We do resemble him. We're made in his image. Just as little man stood up here a little bit ago and he's saying, if he had his glasses on, he broke his glasses. They're just like I was when I was a kid. My mom couldn't keep glasses on me. But he looks like me. Why? Because he's my son. My daughter, my boys, they look like me. They look like their mom. Why? Because they have our genes running through them. Second thing, recognition you and I are created beings. We're created by a divine creator God. Where did that come from? Originators of the Declaration of Independence? Sounds like Genesis 1:1, does it not? In the beginning, God created. Wow, that's tremendous. There's also recognition that there are moral absolutes, that all men are endued with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That's how this country was founded. That's the basic premise of America today. And we know we've drifted far from that, not to bore you, not to keep you longer than needed. But we know that we've drifted from that. Evolution creeps in and relativism creeps in. And I don't want to focus on all negative, but I want to give you one more thing and I'm done. The soloist now comes to the now comes as a soloist of this song, sings the final stanza of the song. He's just given us some negativity. He's just given us some negative aspects. He just told us that God is a God of anger. He's a God of wrath. And ladies and gentlemen, the God that I serve, I'm thankful that he's a God of anger and he's a God of wrath. Because there are some things that we should be mad about. There are some things that we should have anger about. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Now, I'm not saying your anger motivates you to go bomb some abortion clinic. That's stupid. Amen? That's foolish. I'm not endorsing that. No way would I endorse that. But we need to have anger towards abortions. We need to have anger towards, and I'm sorry if that upsets you, but the Bible is the Bible. God's Word is God's Word. And God's Word teaches us and tells us that we're created in His image. And medically, Dr. Dana could attest to you that yes, life begins at conception. We know it medically, we know that now. You know what they've done? They've turned a deaf ear. Listen, they've turned a deaf ear and a blind eye to what we can see now. I have a cousin. My cousin Wally's son, Danny, he and his wife are expecting their second child. And recently, they went and they had one of these 3D. You ever seen these 3D ultrasounds? It's amazing. And that little baby, That little child, I mean, weeks old, you can see facial features. You can see features. And you would have to be blatantly blind to acknowledging, not acknowledging that is a baby. That's a child. Not to bore you with that, not to run in that for too long, but the singer now is going to give us a call of expectation. Look at this call of expectation in verse number 6. So he says, hey, you're an angry God. You're angry at sin. There are some things that God, we kindle his wrath. Look what he says in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? What do we anticipate for America? What do we say? And I hear preachers say that America, there's no hope for America. I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that. And here's why I disagree. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the God, and understand Israel's history, they went from freedom to captivity, freedom to bondage, freedom to captivity. Why? Because God even allowed them to be sold into slavery because of their disobedience and sin. I mean, that's their history. And yet the psalmist, as he sings, he cries out, wilt thou not revive us again, O Lord? Wilt thou not bring us, if you will, bring us back to life. Bring us back to our spiritual life. Would to God. Would to God. Would to the Lord Jesus that God would bring America back to her spiritual life. You say, preacher, there's no hope for America. Yes, there is. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If you look at the history of Israel, may I still remind you that it is righteousness that exalts a nation, but it is still sin that is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. You say, yeah, preacher, but when I get so disgusted, and I get so disgusted with this politician and that politician and this and that. Listen, I do too to a certain degree. Some of the things that our politicians do, I don't understand. Other than, it's just maliciously trying to tear us down even more. Just observation. But hear my heart. Everybody hear this last few statements. Say, preacher, where does your hope lie? Does your hope lie in the next election that a Republican gets elected? Does your hope lie in the next election that a Democrat gets elected? No. Does your hope lie in the next election that a Republican or that an independent or somebody of the Tea Party gets elected? No. You know why? Because my hope is not in the presidential office. My hope is in the God that I serve. And that's what our hope ought to be in. Do we pray for our elected officials? Let me let you in on a little bit of Bible 101 out of the New Testament. Do you know we are commanded of God to pray for those in leadership? We are commanded of God to pray for those leaders. Now, I ain't going to tell you how to pray. That's between you and the Lord. Amen? I'm going to get off of that for a moment. But we're commanded of God to pray for them. But ladies and gentlemen, our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ the Lord. That's where it has to be. And our prayers ought to be, God, we've wandered far from you. We've drifted far from our founding 237 years ago as a nation. Our founding forefathers knew that we had a creator. Our founding forefathers knew that there was absolute truth, that we weren't an accident of evolution. We were a crowning work of your creation. And God, yes, we've drifted far. Every parent, hear my heart. Every grandparent, hear my heart. Our prayer should be, God, for your honor and glory, and for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, wilt thou not revive us again? God, will you please bring us back? Now, one thing you have to be careful of when you watch the news. The liberal media wants to paint the picture. Here's what they do. They want to paint a picture to you that the way they believe in what they're telling you, everybody believes in America. I got news for you. That's not true. A vast majority of Americans believe that same-sex marriage is wrong. The vast majority of Americans believe that abortion is wrong. Don't buy into the lie. But our hope isn't in politicians. Our hope isn't in the media. Our hope has to be in Jesus. There's a call of expectation. Wilt thou not revive us again? Sure he will. Sure he will. You know why? Because God would much rather, and you that are here, hear my heart. God would much rather pardon and forgive than to punish. Study the book of Jonah. Remember Jonah, the prophet? He was mad. He was pouting because God called him to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He went the opposite direction. God says, okay, son, throw him overboard. They throw him overboard. He gets swallowed by a great fish. The great fish, in a very delicate, eloquent way, pukes him up on the beach. Right? He wakes up. He's like, I think I'll go to Nineveh. Good idea. Goes to Nineveh. He's mad. He preaches the shortest sermon that we have in the book. He says, yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he goes, he walks through the city. Walks to the city. He goes out on the hillside. And man, he's got a front row seat with his popcorn saying, come on, God, wipe them out. Right? What happens? The opposite happens. The whole nation repents. The whole nation repents and turns to God. What to God? Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe. And you say, preacher, you're crazy. Just hear me for a moment. You know what could happen in our land? Bill, you know what could happen in our land? President Obama could repent and turn to Jesus. Our politicians could repent and turn to Jesus. Our Supreme Court could repent and turn to Jesus. Say, preacher, that never happened. Well, I'm foolish to believe that it could happen. God could get a hold of him. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I'm so glad you ask. Here's how I know. Here's why I think that could happen. Because the God that could get a hold of them got a hold of me. And he got a hold of you. You remember when you were lost? When you were lost, did you make any stupid decisions? Excuse me, I have children here. Did you make any not-so-smart decisions when you were lost? Just say it, preacher. Stupid decision. Yes. Sure we did. Would you make those decisions now? No, because Jesus Christ lives in you. He saved you. He forgave you of your sins. And you have him as your Savior and your Lord. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you'll respond. Those awaiting baptism, go ahead and make your way back. Get ready for baptism. We have several being baptized today. Grateful for that.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.